Shoe Election Tribunal judgment. That's what we talked about on The Lead at 5 a.m. today, okay? This morning, only that I'll be having Cynthia Mbamalu of Yaga Africa and Achike Chude, an election observer and public affairs commentator, will be joining me any moment now. But before they pop in, let me quickly reiterate again what the judgment of the Australian Election Tribunal, what it is about. I'm going to start by letting you know that this is between APC's Gboyega Oyetola and PDP's Ademola Adeleke of in Osun State. So, when Ademola Adeleke was declared winner by INEC in July last year, the APC and Oyetola went to the tribunal and said, ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. Somebody stop me. Okay. So they went to court with three prayers in mind. Their first prayer is that Adeleke was unqualified to run for the office of the governor. The second prayer, that there was overvoting of in 749, it was later pruned down to 744, polling units. And the third one, that election was not conducted in compliance with the Electoral Act of 2022. So they requested, Oyetola camp, the APC, requested the tribunal to cancel results in 744 polling units, and that the tribunal should declare Oyetola the winner, or, in the alternative and only in the alternative, cancel the election outrightly for substantial non-compliance. That's the prayer three now, and order INEC to conduct a fresh one. So on the first issue, Oyetola said Adeleke secondary school paper was forged. That has a lot to do with the date on the paper and the date Osun State was created. They are saying that it's not possible. On the second and third prayers, they cited Section 47(2) and Section 51(2) of Electoral Act 2022 as amended. Now, these sections stipulated that smart card reader or any other technological device prescribed by INEC must be used for the accreditation of voters, and that results should be cancelled when there is overvoting. Please come along with me, Lagos. Stay with me, please. So the APC, as the petitioners now, APC and Gboyega Oyetola, presented a report which indicated that in the affected polling units, 744 of them, the total number of voters in the declared result was more than the total number of voters accredited through BVAS. Osun Magic. So what happened? Where did the overvoting? How did the overvoting? How did it happen? So from that report, in fact, in some polling units, overvoting was by just one vote. In some, it got to as many as 200 votes in some polling units. And I will explain some part that someone mentioned earlier. I think a caller from the UK, I'm guessing, who said something that... not a caller. No, that caller is actually from Nigeria. Okay, let me admit, I can't remember anymore. You know, the person said that the votes should have been subtracted from both, and I'll explain that as well. So let's fast forward to the judgment. I'll come back to the sections of the Electoral Act in a moment. Let's come back to the judgment. So the first judgment on Adeboye's qualification to run, there was a unanimous decision. All of the justices, all of the judges admitted that Adeleke was qualified to run for office of the governor. Now, on the other two, there was a split decision, 2-1. Let's start with the one, the minority decision. Justice B.A. Obuli. Justice B.A. Obuli dismissed the petition of the APC. And the Justice Obuli said that there is paucity of evidence to support the petition raised by the APC. Justice Obuli said that this evidence or lack of it, he doesn't have enough of it to sustain APC's allegation of overvoting. APC's allegation of a lack of INEC's election standards being adhered to. So he dismissed APC's petition based on that. But then the other two justices, Justice T.A. Akume and Justice Rabi Bashir, they even disagree with Justice Obuli, the minority ruling, that they didn't agree that the petition lacked merit. They didn't agree. They said that from the examination of the evidence of all the parties involved, they found that there was a fact of overvoting, that overvoting actually occurred in the election conducted on the 16th of July. They said that it is their duty to deduct the invalid votes from the lawful votes to determine who had a majority of lawful votes. Now, for those who are saying that they should have deducted from the both parties, that's not how it works. Let me tell you how it works. So let's say party polling booth 722, there was overvoting there. They are not going to deduct votes, overvoting for APC, overvoting for PDP, overvoting for ANC, South Africa, overvoting for PRP or AA. No. They are going to cancel. Let me repeat. They are going to cancel the entire voting, because that's what the law says. They will cancel the entire voting process in that polling booth. So it affects all of the parties. Now, guess what? The person that will affect more or most is the party with the most votes. That is why on the overall, the party with the most votes will lose, will have more deductions from their total haul on the overall. So nobody will be shallying that, okay, let's remove. How many people voted for PRP? Yeah, 50 people. Oh, yeah, cancel 50 for PRP. No, they will cancel the entire vote. That's what happens. That's what the law says. Eh? Okay, I hope that is clear now. Now, guess what? Let's go back to the ruling again. Let's go back to the ruling. During the proceeding, right, witnesses came forward. PDP witness, who happens to be a forensic expert, admitted that they were overvoting in some polling units, but he said that the overvoting just happened in 6 polling units, not 744. And guess what, INEC official who also served as respondent witness also acknowledged that there was overvoting. So the minority ruling that said there was no evidence or anything, I don't understand that ruling. But Milord decided to say that there was no enough evidence. If we have PDP and INEC admitting to the issue of overvoting. So the judges said that both Oyetola of the APC and Adeleke benefited from the overvoting, which I just explained just now. All of them will benefit, even smaller parties, all of them, they will benefit from it. So they cancelled about 181,540 of the votes cast in the 744 polling units across the 10 local government areas of that state. Now, when they cancelled that much votes, Oyetola lost more. Adeleke lost more. That's the PDP now, because most of these polling units are found in his stronghold. So he lost about 112,705 votes cast. Well, it's all out of the APC lost 60,096 votes. So when you deduct the votes that they lost, Adeleke was already on 403,371 when he was declared a winner. If you remove the 112,705, he dropped to 290,266 votes. Oyetola then dropped from 375,000 to 314,000. So on these bases, after the deductions, the tribunal declared Oyetola the winner. Do not forget that governorship elections tribunal and appeal does not end at the appeal court anymore. It gets all the way to the Supreme Court. Back in the day, it used to be at the appeal court level, and that's it. But now it goes all the way to the Supreme Court. Finally, before I come to the telephone line to come talk to you, finally, let's look at the Electoral Act that the majority ruling of the tribunal relied on. Section 47(2) and Section 51(2). 47(2) says, and I quote, "To vote, the presiding officer shall use a smart card reader or any other technological device that may be prescribed by the commission for the accreditation of voters to verify, confirm, or authenticate the particulars of the intending voter in the manner prescribed by the commission." Section 51(2) says, "Where the number of voters cast at an election in any polling unit exceeds the number of accredited voters in that polling unit, the presiding officer shall cancel the result of the election in that polling unit." That's the law. But there are questions. How did overvoting occur? Ideally, you line up. When you get to the INEC staff, he or she brings out the beavers. You authenticate yourself as being an accredited voter there. Once the beavers recognizes your palm or your facial, the guy passes you on to the next step, which will involve you being given the ballot paper. After being given the ballot paper, you head straight into the cubicle to thumbprint. When you're done, you head straight to go and drop the ballot paper in the ballot box. So who got more than one ballot paper? That's my number one question. If no accredited voter got more than one paper, then who thumbprinted without being accredited openly? Surely there's complicity at some point. Because it's your stronghold, or because it's this is that, of any influence, either in the stronghold or from outside the stronghold, there is complicity somewhere. Who compromised? There's got to be an involvement of INEC officials here at one stage or the other. That's another concern. The third concern is when elections were being collated, when results are being collated, at what point is INEC allowed to throw out or to cancel election results of any polling unit where overvoting had occurred? Is INEC mandated to collate the result no matter what happens? Then the political parties can then go to the tribunal, go to the tribunal to go and fight for their right. Or INEC has the power. I mean, it's right here. in the law. Let me read that part again. Where the number of votes cast at an election in any polling unit exceeds the number of accredited voters in that polling unit, the presiding officer shall cancel the result of the election in that poll. Which means right there, the PO has the right to cancel the result. And they get work to do. As in, I need to get work to do. I need to get serious work to do. Because the Constitution already gave them that power. Save us the journey to the tribunal. Save us that journey. Save us that trouble. I'm Bamali's Director of Programs at Yaga Africa. Cynthia, good morning to you and thank you for joining us, Cynthia.
Hello.
Sorry.
Cynthia, are you here?
This is Atike Chude.
I'm here.
All right, good morning to you, Cynthia.
I wasn't sure if it's my internet.
Hello.
Atike, please hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
Cynthia, can you hear me? It appears Cynthia can't hear me. Atike, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. I will await Cynthia's reconnection. If she's able to join us, we'll bring her up.
Back.
You can hear me now, Cynthia?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good morning to you. Good morning. Atike, let me start with you. What's your position on BVAS for the election?
My position on BVAS has not changed. I think it's an innovation that we have seen work. Obviously better than what we used to have, the manual voting, the use of ballot boxing, and then boxes, and then the subsequent interruption of the voting process by thugs, taking away the ballot boxes and destroying the ballot papers. So BVAS has brought some level of order in the way the electoral process has gone.
Right.
And I think it's a good thing. This is my position about BVAS has not changed.
Okay. You still think it's a good inclusion into the process?
Yes, of course. When you introduce a context to the question, then we can now delve deeper into that. But
okay.
For now, BVAS has done well.
Cynthia, what say you on BVAS introduction into the electoral process?
Just like Atike has mentioned, I do believe that the BVAS is a positive innovation that has been introduced to reduce the tendencies of manipulating the electoral process, especially when it comes to results. It's an innovation that, when properly used, can actually curb issues around multiple voting and issues around manufacturing of results, at polling units. So it's a good innovation, and I do believe that there's a lot of work that needs to be done to support INEC's deployment of the BVAS and compliance to the rule, to the Electoral Act, on the use of the BVAS to accredit voters on election day.
Chike, yes, BVAS, it's a consensus. Almost everybody, especially stakeholders, election observers, and civil society organizations, they've alluded to the fact that, yes, BVAS is supposed to be the positive side, positive development in our electoral process. But Atike, if you now look at what happened in Osun State, one may begin to, for instance, some part of the feedback I got this morning is that doubt that, that election in Osun has created the minds of people. Some are of the opinion that INEC might not be telling us fully what, the loopholes surrounding BVAS as a machine. But what say you? You've monitored elections, the off-cycle elections, and you could see how the BVAS was being used. But then if you track back to the election in Osun, July last year, and the issue of overvoting, how could that have arisen in the entire scheme of lecture process?
Yeah, Sheriff, there are questions to be asked of INEC, no doubt about that. Because we have done so much in regards to collaboration with INEC, encouraging them, getting them to do their own path, making advocacy with regards to the needs of INEC, talking about first line charges, ensuring that the law is passed to ensure that within before a year to the conduct of elections, that monies are needed by INEC are released, as well as advocacy for the use of technology, which is BVAS in this case, and all the other accompanying components for the election to make it easier for INEC. So we have done all of this. And having done much of this, of course, not just civil society organizations, but even the media and the Nigerian, generally the Nigerian public, also getting the National Assembly to pass the electoral law, the new electoral law, and then the president to assent to it. And having done all of these things, we expect that INEC will be in a better position to fulfill their responsibilities to the Nigerian people. So when you look at the ruling of the Osun State Election Petition Tribunal, at this present ruling, there is cause for some level of apprehension and alarm, obviously. But let me not just say, we are talking about BVAS, that people have put in so much stock by way of the BVAS. The BVAS has not failed. The BVAS has not disappointed. What we are seeing is a failure of the human elements involved in the administration of this election. Because and if you look at the beauty of even what has happened, if you want to look at it from that perspective, is that they took into account a certain number of votes that said we could not have been part of the votes that were cast by voters.
Right.
And then they combined that, compared that with what the BVAS was,
accredited.
And now used the BVAS as a basis for determining the level of overvoting. So from that perspective, the BVAS did its job excellently.
Okay.
But there are questions to be asked. And I was listening to your, monologue and then the conversations you had earlier with some of the callers. Obviously, there was a failure somewhere. There was overvoting. The PDP says overvoting in 6 polling units.
Yeah.
INEC says overvoting in 6 polling units. But I think the tribunal determined that overvoting took place in over 700 polling units. That is tremendous. That is a fantastic figure if you are looking at it.
Right.
So what it tells you is that there was failure all down the line. Failure of INEC personnel. Because, of course, when you have a certain number of people that are accredited, and this number of people actually vote.
Right.
How are you having overvoting, especially to that with that magnitude?
That margin.
Adeleke had about 160 or 180 votes being deducted from him as a result of our voting, and Oyetola had about 60,000 votes being deducted. How did this happen? So these are questions that we have to be asked, that INEC must give us an answer to. And
even if INEC
admits, let me just make this last point.
Right.
Even if INEC admits that overvoting took place in 6 polling units, Section 51, I think subsection
2,
subsection 3, of the Electoral Act, says that when you have this issue of overvoting,
right,
that the INEC has a duty to cancel the elections that took place that particular polling unit. So why were these elections, why were these voting, to cancel the voting that took place? So why was this not canceled? Why was this not adhered to?
Right.
These are some of the answers we'll be needing eventually.
Thank you, Achike. Cynthia, let me come to you, and we're going to pick it up from what Achike said about the powers of INEC. In that particular law, the Electoral Act 51-2, the law gives the presiding officer the power to cancel the result at any polling unit that experiences overvoting. But that did not happen.
Well, yes, this is an important point, and I do agree with the earlier point made already by Mr. Chike. I think one of the things we need to understand first, the law is clear on what should happen when there's overvoting. It defines overvoting that where the total vote cast, it's more than the total number of accredited voters. then that result for the polling unit will be invalid, will be null and void. Mm. It's supposed to be have been cancelled at the polling unit by the custodian officer. Mm. But I also think, looking at our data, Yaga Africa's data for Osun, when we observed the election, we did observe that in about 23% of our sample polling, there were two beavers deployed. And I will later explain why I'm providing this context. In about 23% of polling, there were about two beavers deployed to those polling units. And I further went to the, and we found out that those polling were polling that had over 750 registered voters. So polling units with large number of polling voters had more than one beaver. Mm. The other point we also did observe was that in about 7% of the polling units, these beavers malfunctioned but were fixed. Now, why am I providing this context?
Cynthia, for some reason, we're getting a hold back from your end. It's echoing.
Can you hear me? Is it better now?
Yeah, it's better now.
So part of why I wanted to provide context.
Yeah.
It's because reading one of the things we did observe from Ekiti Anoshan, we had given a recommendation post that was there was a likelihood that where there were two beavers deployed.
Yeah.
There will be likelihood of recorded overvoting because beaver is configured by per polling unit with the data of registered voters per polling unit. But on the panel, that responsibility to ensure that there is a disaggregation of which data is uploaded on one beavers to the other, just so that you don't have the same number of voters in one beavers on the other. What this meant was, it caused some loss of confusion at that point.
Because if I'm getting you very well, Cynthia, because this beavers contains the same names, the same numbers,
same name,
of voters.
So
if something is happening on one beavers, it's recording automatically on the other beavers. Is that what you're saying?
It's recording automatically on the other. No. What it means is, if, for instance, Cynthia, I'm registered to vote in this polling unit, I got accredited with this beaver, and for some reason I want to manipulate the process, I can still go and get accredited on the other beavers, and it will not be recorded as double. But at the end of the day, they have to collate, put together the data. So it was possible that one person could get accredited more
twice
than once using two different beavers.
Right.
And we had highlighted this in notion that this was a likelihood. So why am I highlighting this point? And it goes back to the point that Chiki made. There's a part of due diligence required by the Electoral Commission. And I do believe that INEC should not be in a position of technicalities observing the deployment of the beavers. Because the truth is that the beavers works. It does function. And it does capture data of accredited voters. And what we have seen is that, one, the point, the presiding officers, either maybe about an issue of capacity or training, at the point of counting and sorting, you know, and collating the data, did not perform that due diligence to ensure that the information they were putting together, especially those pulling it with more than one beavers, were properly accounted for, and that individuals who used one beavers did not manipulate the system and get accredited on another beavers. That is one. The second, where they recorded overvoting, the right thing to have done at the polling unit was to cancel the results. And it was left for INEC to determine that, because what the law requires is if there's cancellation that could substantially change the outcome of the election, then INEC would reconduct elections in those polling units. That is what the law requires. And that was what should have happened. If this record of overvoting happened in this number of polling, as the court says, about 749 polling units with large numbers of with
overvoting,
recorded overvoting. However, for me, like I said, so this was one. It's about due diligence on the part of INEC, and INEC needs to respond to this because I know citizens will begin to question the beaver.
Oh, they have
but
started.
We know that the beaver works. They started, but I think they should understand the context and understand the issues first before questioning that.
Right.
So for me, what is required for mine first, officials that will be deployed must be properly trained. And then the other issue we had highlighted in Osun accredited data should also be uploaded on the IREF. Mm. Because what we noticed in Osun was that what you was transmitted is the results. Accreditation data is also not transmitted. It is required. At this point, what we need is for as you upload the results of polling units using the BVAS, the data on the BVAS also, the accredited data should also be transmitted. We had made that recommendation.
Right.
That's where it is also easy to spot if there are areas that need proper attention. And I'm hoping that INEC is leading for motion towards the next, towards the general elections.
Mm.
Although if we apply the law stricto sensu, if I were in the court, if I was part of the tribunal,
yeah,
what I would be, if I'm applying the law stricto sensu, is to call for an inconclusive election. Because you once there is overvoting, it means it's a breach of the law. Mm. It's not the place of the court to become a collation officer, right?
Right.
It's now left
right,
for,
right.
There is overvoting, what should have been the proper proper action would have been to cancel the elections in those number of polling units and ask for new elections to be conducted in those polling units.
Mm.
Yes, because at this point, if it's overvoting, then it's already illegal.
Mm.
So anything we act upon, it is almost acting upon illegality.
Mm. Achike, let's move forward. Let's move forward because of time. So there is that concern that you mentioned earlier that you heard, you know, from callers expressing doubts and fear. Now that they are ready to vote, they believe in the system, and then this is coming up now. They are not sure again whether their votes will count. What can you tell them?
Well, they have duties. They have responsibilities as citizens. And part of this duty, you know, is that they exercise their fundamental right to decide who would pilot the affairs of their country. And so regardless of the failures of the system, regardless of how much, for instance, their faith might have been shaken a little bit, they still have to do their own path. And that is to collect their PVCs and to vote. For some of us in civil society, we have continued, a lot of us have committed so much energy and effort to ensuring that we have a more transparent, a more credible electoral process.
Yeah.
And so that has not stopped. Every single time that we have had elections in any part of this country, especially the more prominent, you know, pronounced elections, like governorship, presidential, and even other elections, we have always had to do post-mortem. To find out the high points of this, you know, elections, and then the low points, and to make recommendations to the various stakeholders, especially the INEC, on where we think there have been gaps and how these gaps can be filled up. Recommendations to the security agencies where they have failed and where they have done well, to also commend them and also to make recommendations to them on how to improve, and then generally to the federal government too.
Right, right.
You know, so we have, you know, done this, and we continue to do this. We should not what we have, we can find out, or what we have learned from what, you know, has happened with this verdict is that, yeah, perhaps a little bit of, because we are doing some chest thumping after that election. But I must say that we now have a rude awakening based on the ruling of this court. But don't forget again that we have not heard the last of this petition because it has gone to higher, you know, to a higher court. And so perhaps when the court, if the court, assuming, reverses this matter, this particular decision of the lower court,
right,
then perhaps we might say, well, maybe it's not all that bad what INEC did, but there are obviously gaps, there are loopholes that need to be filled. And this is what we expect INEC to begin to do now. And then we must not leave them on their own. I'm talking of civil society. We must engage them thoroughly on this process.
Right.
Let us find out, you know, look at the nitty-gritty of this ruling. Let us look at where they failed and why they failed and who was responsible for this failure. Look, Sheriff, we have gotten to a level where we must begin to hold people accountable.
I agree.
So even if people acted in ways that they should not have acted, you know, and disobeyed the law, you know, and aided and abetted some level of corruption in the process, then we must hold those people responsible. The people who allowed overvoting in many of these places, we should be able to hold them accountable. You know the rules. The rules are clear to you. Why did you do that? And then, hopefully, if they can be prosecuted, let them be prosecuted. And then for the politicians cannot continue to gain, you know, to benefit from the malfeasance that they have continued to unleash on the country. Now, you have a situation where none of them is a saint. Overvoting by the PDP, overvoting by the APC. The APC now, you know, ends, is now rewarded for the overvoting that they themselves conducted. And so this is not the way to build this country. This is not the way to build our democratization process. There must be a threshold that has to be set.
Right.
You know, and when you cross that threshold in terms of electoral, you know, malfeasance, you know, then you must say, look, this party cannot benefit from this thing that they have done.
Achike.
And because, you know, this is, we need to get to that level.
Right.
So that the politicians can learn a lesson.
Right.
Oh, look, in the past 21, 23 years of unbroken democracy, the weakest link in our democratization process has been the politicians. Now the politicians manipulate the process.
Achike.
You know, and then they are the ones that go to the courts to seek for justice.
Achike.
After manipulating the process.
Achike, you know what, you know what we're going to do, Achike? I'm going to have to find a way to bring you back to continue with this conversation, but we have to leave it here for today. Achike, thank you so much for coming. Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
We report, you decide. Topical conversations that matter to you.
There are people for personal, religious, whatever reasons who do not want to take a vaccine. And I think they have the rights.
They cannot go to us to stop insecurity, it's to force people to take vaccines. Let them come and kill me. I can never take it.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are